And now it's time for Words You'll Hear. That's where we try to understand stories we'll be hearing more about by parsing some of the words associated with those stories. Today we're going to talk about a legal phrase, implied consent. That phrase is at the heart of a case before the Supreme Court on Wednesday. The court is expected to hear arguments over laws in states like North Dakota and Minnesota that make it a crime for drivers to refuse to take a blood or breathalyzer test if authorities suspect them of driving under the influence. Critics say those laws violate constitutional rights protecting Americans against unreasonable searches. Here to tell us more is Amy Howe, editor and writer at the SCOTUS blog, which covers the Supreme Court. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what is implied consent and how does it figure into this case?
So the idea is that in all 50 states, by driving on the roads of the states, you're deemed to have consented to have your blood alcohol level tested to determine whether you're driving under the influence. And in most of those states, if you refuse consent, your license is suspended. But 12 states, including Minnesota and North Dakota, have decided that it's not enough to take someone's license away because they've discovered that essentially the people who are drunkest are likely to refuse consent on the ground that having your license suspended, and in many cases it may already be suspended, is better than rolling the dice and seeing what your blood alcohol level actually is and then facing a stiff criminal sentence.
What is the argument to challenging this?
The argument is that the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches unless you have a warrant. And so then the question becomes, is it a search and is it unreasonable? And the drivers in this case, who are from North Dakota and Minnesota, say that by criminalizing the refusal to take this test, it's effectively the same as an unreasonable search without a warrant.
Is there any other area that most people would know about or that's a factor in their daily lives where this issue of implied consent could be affected by whatever the court decides?
It depends a lot on what the Supreme Court says. And this is not necessarily the kind of area of the law in which the justices are going to break up into what we think of as the conservative ones and the more liberal ones. In a case a couple of years ago involving whether or not the state of Maryland could take DNA swabs from someone who's been accused of a felony, the Supreme Court held that Maryland could do that. The dissent was written by the late Justice Antonin Scalia, who we think of as a more conservative justice. So a lot just depends on exactly how the court rules and how broad the decision is.
Before we let you go, Amy, this isn't the only case the court is expected to consider this week, and understand that there's a big argument involving the Obama administration's immigration strategy. Could you just briefly talk a little bit about it?
Sure. Immigration reform was something that the Obama administration had hoped to pass with the help of Congress. And when it looked like in November 2014 that wasn't going to happen, the Obama administration decided to go it alone. And so it issued a new policy that said if you have been in the country since January of 2010 and you are the parent of a lawful permanent resident or a U.S. citizen child, you can stay in the country legally for 3 years and you'd be able to work legally. The lower courts blocked the policy from going into effect. And so now the Supreme Court is potentially going to have the last word on it, whether or not the Obama administration had the authority to issue this policy.
That's Amy Howe. She's an editor and writer at the SCOTUS blog, which covers the Supreme Court. Amy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.